The Lord is good.
Yes.
Let us pray.
Heavenly Father, we love you. We appreciate you. We thank you, Lord, for making a way for us. Otherwise, how would we have come here to have fellowship with you and with one another if not that you made a way for us? We are very, very grateful, O God. Thank you for taking care of our challenges for us. Thank you for lifting our burdens. Lord, right now, as we go into your word, we are asking, O Lord, speak to us. Speak comfortably unto Zion this morning. Lord, I yield myself as a vessel, O Lord, a channel, to speak true, O God. Let your counsel alone stand in the name of Jesus. Thank you, faithful God. In Jesus' name we pray. Good morning, everyone. Able youths, I want to see you lift up your hands. Say, praise the Lord. If you are a youth in this place, I don't mean those who are 60 and other and say they are youth. No, no. The real original youths, where are they? Oh, my God. Look. Look. The adult, the grandpa, they are the one. The real youth, they did not lift up their hand. Oh. Don't miss the hour of your visitation, no. I have a gift for some youths today. Youths, are you there? I know where they are concentrated. Right there. Praise the Lord. Now, please, this specially addressed to the youths. If you have your Bibles and your notepads with you, just lift them up high, very high. This is addressed to the youths only. If you have only Bible, lift up your hands and raise the Bible up. Youths. Okay. Now, I want to give a gift of a notepad to some people who don't have notepad because it's necessary to take notes. I've not really started the message. It's just a preamble. So my wife is right there. If you are a youth, lift up your hand. My wife has a gift for you. Just to encourage you, I want to encourage you to have notepads during sermons and write them. Write them. Some are notepads, some are some of my books. Want to give you, want just to encourage you. Praise the Lord. Yeah, they are the future leaders. They are the future generation, and we need to empower them. We need to show them the way. I can remember when I was a youth, and we went for a camp meeting that ushering the entire message, at least in Nigeria. You know, we're all youths. If you ask me for the notes I took then, way back 1975, I can show you. And I have never deviated. The notes of last Sunday, they are here. It helps you to assimilate the word of God. Don't claim, oh, I have a super brain. I can remember all what he said. No, it's not possible. That is why you need some kind of notepad, Jorah, to take down notes while somebody is ministering. Not only in Bible studies, but whenever there is a ministration. It will help you. It will do you good. Praise the Lord. Today, we want to talk about a topic which I've called Watch and Pray. Amen? Very simple, very easy. What the topic again? Watch and pray. That's the topic. It's as easy as that. For our reference, let's go to the book of Matthew, chapter 26, verse 41. This is what it says. Jesus said this. disciples. Say, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Many of us quote these scriptures. See, the circumstance was in the Garden of Gethsemane in preparation for the crucifixion. And it was a time to pray to the Father for strength. We're actually told that after he prayed, the angel of the Lord strengthened him. He was strengthened. He received strength. May you receive strength at the hour of need in the name of Jesus. We all need strength as we run this Christian race. There are challenges that come our way. And when we call to the Father, he's right there for us. In fact, I used to wonder, I say, those who don't have Christ, those who don't have Jesus as their Lord and Savior, they suffer alone. They bear pains alone. Even if you are married, you have a partner and all that. So Jesus was expressing just before his crucifixion, say, watch and pray. So we too should learn also to watch and pray. Why would they pray? Because there was a temptation coming around. I have been with you for so long, and now very soon I'm going to leave you. It's just like you're going to be alone. You need to be able to overcome the temptation. In fact, at that time, the hour of prayer, you need to overcome the temptation of sleeping while praying. Nevertheless, some of them still fell asleep, but Jesus encouraged them all the same. As for him, he received strength to face the cross of Calvary. Jesus also said this in Luke 21, verse 36. Say, watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Jesus said this in Luke 21, 36. It was prophetic of what will happen at the end. He was telling us about things, events that will transpire before he returns. And in an earlier preaching, made a distinction between the second coming and the translation or the rapture. Rapture comes before the second coming or the second advent. Now, what the church is expecting is the rapture, the translation of the saints. So to watch means to have the alertness of a guard at night, security guards, especially in the night time. Why are there security in some places? Because of evil, because of terror, because of criminal tendencies of people who would like to take advantage of other people's property and whatever. So guards are there. For example, you have an iPhone that is very, very attractive, and somebody is looking at it, you know, is coveting it. If there are no security men, somebody can just grab that food away. So for that, all those kind of reasons, people are alert, especially security men. During the day, they are alert. They watch this way and that way. And I know some of us are doing that kind of job. It's a very noble profession, because even we spiritually, Christians, are watchmen. We are to watch one another, pray for one another, and also to tell others about the things that are soon coming upon the world. So at night is where security men, they need to be more alert than during the daytime. In the daytime, dangers, you know, can often happen, be spotted from a distance. When something, a danger is, somebody is coming, maybe you want to intrude into a premise and all that, and you are watching. If you have to confront the person easily during the day. But at night, it's difficult. You can hardly see everybody, even though you have lights on. So you have to be extra vigilant at night time to be watchful, lest an enemy comes in, lest a thief comes in to steal your property. That's the need for watchfulness. So we need to be very, very watchful. Do we know that we are in the prophetic midnight hour? And this is when the voice is going forth that Behold, the Son of Man is coming. Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go ye out to meet him. Spiritually speaking, we are in the midnight hour where many strange things are happening. Demonic activities everywhere. But thanks be to God. Those who are watchful, they will not be taken unawares at Jesus coming. Amen. We need to be watchful for his return. If you don't watch for his return, or you are not even looking forward to his return, how would he appear to you? The Bible tells us specifically in Hebrews, book of Hebrews, that the Lord is coming for those who look forward to his return. So we have to be expectant of his coming. We need to watch and be spiritually fit at all times. Many of us watch our weight, watch our physical status, we do exercises just to keep fit physically. Spiritually, do you do as much spiritual exercise to keep fit? In watching and praying, you have to do spiritual exercises to keep fit. And one of them is praying. Amen. Because the Bible says that in this world, we have tribulation. Jesus said it specifically in John chapter 16, verse 33. Say, in the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Amen. It's our strength, it's our comfort. In times of tribulations and oppositions and persecutions, we look forward to the Lord to strengthen us, and he does. He has made a way for us. Even though we've had many trials in time past, even this last week, the Lord stood by us. Amen? And we continue to stand. On our part, let us be watchful. In 2 Timothy 3, verse 12, stated that all that must live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. These things, they are not pleasant. Troubles, tribulation, persecution, they are not pleasant. But with all depending on the Lord will help us and make a way for us all the time in Jesus' name. We need to be watchful as we don't want to be caught on our ways. That one is very, very important. If you can underline that one in your notes, we don't want to be caught on our ways. Why? Because Jesus said his coming is going to be as like a thief in the night. When people least expect, that's when he will come. But we are going to read from the scriptures whether the saints of God will be completely in darkness as to when Jesus will come. We don't know the date. We don't know the hour. Let's underline that one as well and don't ever misconceive it. Nobody knows the day and nobody knows the time. In fact, it's not even necessary because the Bible says at the rapture time that two people shall be in the field. Two women shall be grinding at the mill. Daytime. One will be taken and the other left behind. That's a scene of the rapture, the translation. Two will be sleeping. I'll give you the relevant scriptures. Two will be sleeping. One who is right and ready with God will be taken and the other one will be left. Two people will be walking along. Maybe they are doing grocery shopping. Let's go to that place. Let's go to that place. Suddenly something happens. One is taken. The other is left. You have seen some kind of videos, short clips about how rapture will take place. Exactly. It's going to be like that. People have been raptured before. Elijah was raptured, was caught up. If you don't like that word, rapture. It was translated, was caught up. Enoch was caught up. Jesus was caught up in Acts chapter 1, verse 9 to 11. People were seeing him. They were looking at him. They were discussing with him. But they were seeing him go up. And they were wondering. What's happening? What's happening? And then angel told them, look, this same Jesus that you see going up now, he will in like manner come again. That will be the second advent. Praise the Lord. That will be the second advent because they just saw him. Everybody there saw him go up. And he will come in like manner in the second heaven. But in the rapture, it's not going to be a public display for everybody. They will only feel the effect of what had happened. Why? Because it's like Jesus Christ comes in the air, he won't come to this earth, and we will be caught up to meet him in the air. So that's all the more reason why we need to watch and pray. We must be spiritually vigilant and in tune with the Savior and be ready when he shall come. We will not allow the enemy to distract us in Jesus' name. When we are not watchful, we take our eyes off Jesus. We take our eyes off him and tune to the things of this world when we are not watchful. We can only remain faithful to God when we are devoted to praying. In praying, for example, we constantly allow God to forgive us, to cleanse us, to teach us, and to strengthen us. Have you ever thought about that? Each time you pray, and you really pray, the first thing you do is to ask that God will forgive you of any sin. Sin of commission, sin of omission, so that you'll be right with God. Because sin is a hindrance to answer prayers. You don't want your prayer to be hindered. Therefore, you ask for cleansing. You ask for purging. As many times you pray, you do that. That keeps you in a state of alertness. Amen. We're talking about watching and praying. Watch and pray. In praying, we constantly allow God to forgive us. I said, cleanse us and strengthen us. The same way, we forgive people who have offended us. As you are here now, and there's somebody who offended you, you made up your mind not to forgive that person, please have a change of mind. I plead with you in the name of Jesus Christ. Because unforgiveness can hinder somebody from making the rapture. If you don't know it today. Unforgiveness is sin. If you don't forgive your neighbor, don't forgive your brother, your sister. Some people don't even forgive their parents, their fathers. Say, when I was growing up, my father was very wicked. He didn't send me to school. It was my mother who labored. Therefore, I will love only my mother and hate my father. And you feel justified about that. But if you have the Spirit of God, you will learn to forgive your father as well. Love covers a multitude of sins. Through love, your father can be converted, assuming he's hard-hearted. So, forgive and receive forgiveness also when you pray. We're talking about watching and praying. We can talk too much. We can eat too much. We can play too much. But we can't pray too much. So, every Christian is supposed to be a prayer warrior. I know we have prayer groups, some online, and some they meet physically to pray together, they call them prayer bands, some places and all that. Very good. Those groups, they are dedicated. God will bless them. They have a silent ministry and God will reward them openly in Jesus' name. But you as an individual, learn to have a prayer habit. Learn to develop a habit of praying all the time. We don't have a specific number of times we must pray a day. Say, oh, Christians are supposed to pray 10 times a day or 50 times. Nothing like that. Holy Spirit leader, you can pray as many as 20 times, 30 times a day as the need may arise. Short prayers. You can be, you can be walking along and you are praying. You can be doing your job and praying at the same time. Yes, in your heart. And God will hear you and God will understand you. So God understands whispers. Even prayer that we whispered, we don't even speak out. He understands. He knows your pain. That's why he hears you sometimes. When you don't even, you have not said it out. I remember one time I was sick way back in Nigeria and the man of God was ministering. In fact, I was so weak. But I made effort to come to church all the same. So while others were being prayed for, I couldn't really talk aloud, but the Spirit of God through the man of God at that time said that even the prayer that I was muttering in my mind, that God has heard me and answered me. I was strengthened. So God hears prayers, even those you don't speak out loudly. So pray all the time. No wonder the Bible says you should pray without ceasing. Well, that doesn't mean you pray endlessly. You're always talking, you're always on your knees. And by the way, in Christendom, there is no rigid formula as to how you need to pray. You must not always kneel down. You may be lying down and praying. You are walking and you are praying. So there's so much freedom and liberty in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. Yes. So the Bible says pray without ceasing. Whatever situation and condition, learn to pray. Men ought always to pray and not faint. Continued, persistent, incessant prayer is an essential part of Christian living and flows out of humility and dependence upon God. It's when we realize that we can't help ourselves and we need divine intervention. That's when we pray. For ourselves individually, for our families, and for our nations. For example, our nation, Nigeria, needs a lot of divine intervention. We can't help ourselves, therefore we ask God. Not even other nations, they can't help us. That's why we cry unto God to help us. If you do that for your personal needs, God will always hear you. When you have money, you have comfort, and you have all the necessities of life, the tendency to depend on God is less. Truth. If in your life is not so, thank God for your life. The tendency, in fact, before we came this way, some people had the idea that, look, over there they don't pray because they have everything that they need. Yeah, what do you pray for? Here, over there, you pray for light. You pray for food. You pray for security. You pray for this. You pray for that. But there, virtually everything is guaranteed. So people there, they are not serious Christians and they don't pray. That shouldn't be said of you and me in Jesus' name. We should be exceptions. It's not only to give me food, give me food, give me food. Don't only care about yourself. Think about the need of other people as well. There are many things to pray and cry about. In Ezekiel chapter 9, verse 4 to 6, we saw a case wherein God revealed to Ezekiel that was going to punish the people because of their hypocrisy. People who served God, people who were in the temple, they were committing atrocities and God was not happy. So he wanted to judge the people, starting from the house of God, starting from the temple. Therefore, he sent some messenger, the incorrect writer, and sent them, say, look, take note of all the people you are going to see. Those who cry and sigh for the abominations in the land. Those who are not comfortable with what is happening around, but they are praying and crying for divine intervention. Mark those people. Mark them. Because judgment is coming upon everyone. And it was really so. They were marked. And when the hour of judgment came, they were spared. Amen. The Lord is going to take us out before the great tribulation. The time of Jacob's trouble. Time that is so perilous. In fact, the Bible says there had not been any time like that. In Daniel chapter 12, verse 1, it tells us there had not been any time like that, nor ever will be the time of the great tribulation. That's why in Luke 21, 36, Jesus actually said, should watch and pray so that you'll be able to escape all these things that will happen during the great tribulation. It's a period of about 3.5 years, the midst of Daniel's 70th week. And when it happened, when the Antichrist will have broken the covenant he made with the Jews and the Arab neighbors and all that, and rapture has taken place, he will now institute the mark upon the people. And people must compulsorily take the mark without which they cannot buy or sell. You get details in Revelation chapter 13. But we are not talking about all that, but there is need to be passionate about praying for God's divine help in our lives. Not only for our need, but for the need of others. Yes, we talk about intercessory praying. Those who are intercessors, indeed, they don't pray just for their needs. My wife, my husband, my children, my. They pray for people's needs. Out of compassion, they pray for people in need, people in distress, people who are being persecuted. Not in all parts of the world you can have congregations like this, people just worshiping God in freedom and liberty. No. Preaching of the gospel is restricted in many countries today. So while we have the opportunity, let us watch and pray that when the Jesus coming, false on us will not be found wanting in Jesus' name. Amen. When our thoughts turn to worry, when our thoughts turn to fear and discouragement and anger, we are to consciously and quickly turn every thought into prayer and every prayer into thanksgiving. Somebody has said this. See, your heart is like a garden where Jesus plants his seeds. Watch out so Satan doesn't come and plant some ugly weeds there. Your heart, your thought life. Guard your heart with all wisdom, for out of it are the issues of life. Amen. No matter what we are doing, we need to be watchful and prayerful so we can keep our hearts pure and clean. We're talking about watching and praying. We want to go a little bit into the prophetic dimension of it. There are two parts to it. There's a prophetic dimension to watch and pray. Like the children of Issachar, in 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 32, we are told that these children of Issachar, they had understanding of the times. And they knew what to do. Do you have understanding of the times you are living in now? And are you taking precautions? Are you taking precautions so that you will not be taken unawares? 1 Chronicles 12, 32. 32. 3, 2. We too shall understand that Jesus' coming is at the door. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 4, we're going to read this passage. Please, everyone open to it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we're going to read a few verses there. We see something wonderful about these times we are living in. First Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 4 says, or let me read from verse 3. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. There's a time coming wherein the man of sin, the Antichrist, will be talking about world peace, 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 peace. When they begin to emphasize that one so much, you say, just watch out. Because they are doing that, sudden destruction will come. Because there can really be no peace without Christ. For individuals, you need Jesus Christ to be within for you to have peace. For the world, there is no peace for the wicked. And they are doing more wickedly. How will there be peace? There'll be trouble and tribulations and different things happening until the Prince of Peace, the Lord Jesus Christ, comes to establish the millennial reign. That's when we have perfect peace upon the earth. Amen. But as for now, Jesus Christ has his own kingdom spiritually. And you are in that kingdom if you are born again. So you can have that peace. It's free gift to you. The peace of God that passes all understanding. Even when the world is in tribulations and turmoil, you have peace. Yes, that one is guaranteed us. So let's read further. Verse 4. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Remember what I said before? And the Bible says, actually, that the coming of the Lord is like a thief in the night. When no man is really ready, just come. It's a secret affair. But you, brethren, are not in darkness. Are you in darkness? That's what the Bible says. Say, you are not in darkness. That day should take you as a thief. You will not be in darkness so that when that day comes, you'll be unaware. No. Verse 5.
Ye are all children of light, if you are born again, and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Amen. Because you are not of the night, you are not of darkness. You should not be taken unawares. The reason is that you are watching and praying. You are alert. You are careful. You don't allow the problems of this world to overwhelm you. Neither do you allow the pleasures of this world to becloud your vision too. The generation that sees Israel come as a nation shall not pass away until all the events of the great tribulation take place. Luke chapter 21, 29 to 32. That's what it says. That's another sign. The sign of Israel in our time. We know very much that Israel is back as a nation. Jerusalem is restored as the capital and the eternal capital for that matter. Israel is God's prophetic timepiece, and Jerusalem is the minute hand. So when we are talking about watching, watch Israel. Watch the clock. Watch God's prophetic timepiece. Amen. Recently, there was a red heifer born in Israel. That's a female cow. A young one. Red heifer. The particular color looks reddish, but not pure red as such. Now, this happened on the 16th of September. Very recent. And the rabbis, that is the teachers, the leaders of the Jewish temple, the Jewish religion, Judaism and all that, they said that this is a prophetic birth of a red heifer. Why? Because the book of Numbers chapter 19, 2 to 9, we are told that in the temple of old, they used the heifer as a sacrificial lamb for cleansing, for purification. It's not just all kinds of animals. For that particular one, they need a red heifer. You can read it, Numbers chapter 19, 2 to 9. They said, just listen to some of the quotes. Unquote, Bible prophecy fulfilled as first red heifer born in 2,000 years, signaling end of days, unquote. Then another one says this, fear, first red heifer born in Israel for 2,000 years triggers Armageddon fears. These are headlines of some newspapers. Rabbi Chan Richman, director of the Temple Institute, said that the birth suggests the time could be right for the third temple to be built. We know that the Israelites, they are going to build their temple where the two witnesses will minister and all that. Going to Revelation chapter 11. What will lead to it when there is peace between Israel and the neighbors? The Antichrist will do that job and strike a covenant. But we are told prophetically that in the midst of the week, the Antichrist will break the covenant and he will say he is God. People should worship him. But the Jews will never accept him. And so war breaks out, leading to the battle of Armageddon, etc., etc. If you are not interested in eschatology or prophecy about end times, Muslims do. Other major religions, they do. Let me tell you this. The Muslims, according to their theology, in the end time which we are in, they are expecting a Mahdi. A Mahdi is like Messiah that will come and bring universal peace upon the earth, the whole earth. They are understanding. But before he comes, they are going to prepare the way by cleansing the world of all infidels. That's it. So they are expecting a Messiah. What about the Jews? Jesus came to the Jews and the Jews did not receive him. Jesus said, I came in my Father's name and you received me not. I know that we come in his name. That's the one you receive. The Jews are expecting the Messiah to come. Do you know that? I'm telling you, if you are not expectant of Jesus coming, the Messiah coming back, the other religion, they are caring about what will happen. So you need to be aware. So the Muslims are expecting a Mahdi, somebody will bring universal peace. The Jews, they are expecting the Messiah. We Christians, we're expecting the Lord Jesus Christ to come and take us home. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yes. And the world at large is expecting a new world order. Under one person, one world religion, one world church. If you don't belong, then you'll be persecuted. It's the Antichrist who will champion that cause. The Antichrist is very much alive, but in due time will reveal himself. In the Bible times, way back in time of the apostles, they were talking about Antichrist. Antichrist, plural. Antichrist. The spirit of Antichrist had been walking down through the ages, bringing false teachings and false doctrine, even deception and all that. But in the end time, there's going to be the Antichrist. The Antichrist, specific. He's the one that will strike the covenant between the Jews and the Arab nations. And when he does that one, there'll be relative peace for a short time. But in no time, in the midst of the week, there'll be the abomination of the desolation that Daniel speaks about. That's in the temple that will be rebuilt. The Antichrist will offer sacrifice that is not acceptable to the Jews. And that will be regarded as the abomination of the desolation. It happened before. There was a man way past in history before Christ was ever born, Antiochus Epiphanes. This man, he was a ruler of the Jews. No, he was not a Jew, but he was the ruler, quite all right, because at that time he had empires. You conquer nations and control them. What he did when he took over their temple at that time, he desecrated it. He offered pigs as sacrifice, which is an abomination to Judaism. You can't do that in the temple of God. But that's what he did. And that was regarded as a foretype of what the Antichrist in future will do. The rising of the Antichrist is not our business. But we need to know as prophetic students. We need to know what's going to happen. Because he's the one that will cause the world war to spread, the world war III to start. And all that because he says he will say he's God and all that. So we also said that the Jews, I mean, we need to watch Israel. Watch Israel as a nation. In Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 7, we are told, yea, the stalk in the heaven knoweth the appointed times, and the turtle and the crane and the swallow observe the time of their comings. But my people know not the judgment of the Lord. Judgment is looming upon the nations. God is telling us we can escape those events of the great tribulation before it happens. Because the rapture takes place before the great tribulation. It is possible. Luke 21:36. Watch. So that you'll be accounted. Watch and pray so that you'll be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass. Some other Christians don't believe likewise. They think it's an escape route. You don't want to show for the power of God, manifest the power of God, and show the world that you have the Holy Spirit and all that. So you want to escape before the great tribulation? They believe like that. I do believe that the rapture takes place before the great tribulation, and it's not our portion to be there with the Antichrist. Of course, not all Christians will go in the translation. Some will be ready, some will not be ready. Some are wise, some are foolish. I'm not the one saying this. In Matthew chapter 25, Jesus gave us a parable of the 10 virgins. 5 were wise, 5 were foolish. Do you want to be among the foolish bride, the foolish ones? No. You want to be among the wise, so to be ready. In fact, they were the one that they were alerted. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. They awoke out of sleep. They were all asleep, but they woke up. They woke up and they got themselves ready. They got their lamps trimmed. This is lamp trimming time. We need to trim our lamps so that when Jesus comes, we will not be found wanting in Jesus' name. In Matthew 24, verse 41. Matthew 24, verse 41 tells us about what I referred to earlier, but I want to emphasize it. Verse 40 says, then shall two be in the field. One shall be taken, the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill. The one shall be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, verse 42. Matthew 24, verse 42. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. That is why we need to watch and pray. You do not know the hour. I'm sure if it were possible to know the hour, all business will close up that day. Everybody will be in church. Is it not so? All this kind of thing, artificial. Wherever you are in your workplace, be alert. Be ready. Be watching and praying. Don't take it for granted. You know, Gideon's army, let's learn from Gideon's army. Gideon had 300 troops with which he fought the enemies. And God did that to show his power. But how were they selected out of the multitude? They were taken to the water side to go and drink. Some of them, knowing that they are soldiers, they are drinking, they are watching at the same time. They are drinking. They are watching and they are alert. But the others, water. They got their head sunk in the water. They were drinking. Some of us, we can get sunk in the business of this world, what we are doing, that we are not conscious so much about the coming of the Lord. But that is why we need to watch and pray. Let us be watchful. Let us have the Gideon 300 army spirit. Be genuinely born again. As you are here, if you are not genuinely born again, ask Jesus to come into your heart and accept you as Lord and Savior, to forgive your sin and make you a child of God. Be Holy Ghost filled. If you are not baptized in the Holy Spirit, you need to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. Because that's the empowerment. We talk about even the foolish virgin. They had oil, and that oil is symbolic of the Holy Spirit initially. But their oil ran out. If your oil has run out, ask for a refilling now while there's opportunity. Because when that time comes, give me of your oil. No, go and buy of them that sell. This is the time you can shop for it. Amen. Please be alert. Be Holy Ghost filled. Watch and pray. Be a watchman. Bible says we should be watchmen. Don't allow members of your family to die and go to hell. If you love them all, preach to them, witness to them by your life and conduct and also by what you say to them. Don't hate people. Release those people who have offended you. Have a clean conscience. Apostle Paul said he had an aim of having a conscience void of offense towards God and towards man. Let that be yours too. Don't have enemies all around. You can't relate to people and all. You can't pray for them either. No, that's not Christianly at all. Be a watchman and don't let people die who are supposed to know from you, who are supposed to hear about Christ from you. Don't let them die in sin. Tell them about Jesus. Repent of every lukewarm spirit. If you are lukewarm, Christ will spew out lukewarm. Lukewarm will not go in the translation. No, certainly not. So you assess yourself. You are your best judge. If you are lukewarm, you need to repent. You need to ask God to revive you. Amen? You need a personal reviver. Yes. Be aglow in the spirit so that when the trumpet shall sound, you will not be found wanting in Jesus' name. Before I close, let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word as comfort. Lord, I thank you, Lord, because you are reminded about your soon return, how we need to be watchful. Even on daily living basis, how we need to be watchful and prayerful. Help us, O Lord, that the blessings you have blessed us with will not becloud our vision in the name of Jesus. Help us to taste and hunger after righteousness, O God. So that, O Lord, when the trumpet shall sound, none of us shall be left behind. If there's anyone here you have not known Jesus, please just ask Jesus to have mercy upon you. Say, Lord, I am a sinner. Have mercy upon me. Forgive my sins and trespasses and start afresh and seek to know the Lord. And the Lord will never leave you nor forsake you. In Jesus' name, God bless your hearts.